Yesterday I rang Sam and said, can you do the music for tonight? Didn't tell him what I was speaking on. But his first song, one of the lines was, this is a prophetic word. And I'm speaking on prophecy again. And the last one, Spirit lead me. Can't prophesy without the Spirit. Pastor Johnny has asked me to carry on what he's been doing over the last few Sunday nights in speaking about the prophetic word and the gift of prophecy. Going back a couple of months, one of my assignments from college was to observe gifts of the Spirit in the church. And the two main gifts that I've seen in this church and they're still operating is the gifts of tongues and prophetic gifts. There are different people who've brought different prophetic messages. Not necessarily one more than the other, but those are the main gifts that I had a 10-minute video to speak about. So if you'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 14, I'm going to start with verse 1. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 speaks about the different gifts of the Spirit. And in 14, he seems to emphasize more on the gift of prophecy. So verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you have prophecy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So to start with, Paul's saying, follow the way of love. God is love. And that's how we should be. We should be wanting to emulate that love that God has shown us. Jesus on that cross showed the ultimate love and sacrifice for each and every one of us. And in following the way of love, we should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So here Paul's asking us to eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. And I'll come back to that for something personal in my life that's been brought to the fore this week. Tongues, I hear tongues every day in church, but I don't hear prophecy every day in church. Tongues seems to be a great part of the worship that we've got in here, and I'm not knocking it. It's wonderful. It's great to hear the Spirit's here. But prophecy speaks to people. Verse 3, but the one who prophesies speaks to people, and it's for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. It's not to point out sin in their lives. It's not to condemn them, but for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And I'm going to jump back to John 4, Samaritan woman. This is an example of Jesus with the gift of prophecy. And if I just read from it again, if I can find my place. So, John 4, verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Jesus tells this woman something about her life that he would have had no knowledge. This was a divine appointment that Jesus needed to keep. He went to the well at noon. There shouldn't have been anybody there at noon that day. But this woman was there in the heat of the day collecting water because she's ashamed of the life that she's lived or is living. She didn't want the gossips talking about her while she's at the well. If we go back to the Old Testament, the well was where men and women met and ended up in relationships. You've got Jesus on his own and a Samaritan woman. And yes, he points out that she's had five husbands, and this guy's not, the guy that she's with now is not a husband. But he doesn't condemn her with it. It's just a revelation of he knows who she is and what she's going through. And she recognises in the very next verse that he's a prophet. And he's there to encourage her. He's offering this living water that only he can give. We read further on that she drops a jar and runs back to the town and shouts to everybody, come meet this man who told me everything about myself. This is a woman that probably doesn't like to be seen in public in this town because of the way she's lived and the way she is living. She will be just there for scorn. Other people will not have treated her well. But she's had the strength and the encouragement to run there and tell these people about Jesus. And we read further on that the people believe her. They meet Jesus and ask him to stay with them. And Jesus does, and he stays there for two more days. And many people follow Jesus through this. So, gift of prophecy is so we can speak into people's lives and encourage them, strengthen them, comfort them. Most of you know, thank you, that we're having some building work done at our house. There's been some guys come this week. They've been here all week, digging out, whinging, complaining, moaning, groaning. And all I've done is be nice to them and feed them as many coffees and teas as they've wanted. And I've spent probably 3 days digging with them to try and get it how they wanted it. And I think even if it had been perfect, they'd have still whinged and moaned. But long story short, the guy in charge of the crew comes from Huddersfield. And we got talking about why we bought the house and why we moved over here. And my simple answer was, we bought this house because we're involved in the church here in Sobey Bridge. That was it. That's all I said. For the next hour and a half, he grilled me about church and God. And in hindsight, a lot of the stuff that he talked about were clairvoyancy and spiritualist church, because that's what a lot of his family had dealt with. He'd lost his mother, and a clairvoyant had told his grandmother that his mother was in heaven. And I'm thinking, this is a little bit like Moses, you know, the false gifts. So every time Moses did something, Pharaoh's wizards, whatever they were, copied it. And I'm trying to explain this to him, but he hadn't got a clue about who Moses was. He had no background to the Bible. His only vision, and this was his description of God, God was a man hung on a cross. That was his vision. Now, for me growing up, I grew up in a Church of England school. I wasn't brought up in church, but I knew the Bible stories. I knew about the Lord's Prayer. I knew about hymns. I knew about singing to Jesus. Even at grammar school, one of the books that we studied, and I can't remember whether it was in English or whether it was in RE. I have a feeling it was English, because I think my English teacher was born again. We studied The Cross and the Switchblade by Nicky Cruz. And it took another nearly 20 years for me to get it. But the generations that are coming through now, because Christianity has been taken out of schools and it's do whatever we want, do what is okay for you. If you feel like it, then it's okay for you. The word of God has disappeared. And in hindsight, I would have, or I should have, sought God to give a word into his life that would have pointed him towards Jesus, that would have been a revelation that only God could have given me for him at that time. Because of all the clairvoyancy in the spiritualist church and all the stuff that was coming from ungodly places, it would have been brilliant to have given him a word from God. And studying for this and looking at this, I believe that's where I should be. For me personally, for eagerly desiring the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, I want to be able to go to people and I want to be able to speak into their lives and reveal Jesus. I don't think, yes, the gospel will get people saved, but I think they need more revelation, because most of us in here will have had some form of the gospel given to us as we were growing up. Whereas a lot of society today, a lot of the younger end, don't have that background that we have. And I think if we can speak into their lives and encourage them, give them that strength to step out in faith, then we'll see souls saved in Sobey Bridge. I have two more scriptures from 1 Corinthians 14. First one is 24 to 25. Tongues, then, are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So prophecy is actually, I believe, for both. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, they will not say what... Will they not say you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, They are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So it's a little bit of a contradiction, is that? Because he says tongues is for unbelievers and prophecy isn't. But then he goes on to say that prophecy within the church, I think what he's trying to say is that prophecy is a gift for the believers. And that gift will convict the unbelievers when they come in. Verse 29 to 33. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Prophecy brings peace, brings order. I know we don't want everybody coming out and just shouting and jumping in. Myself and Carol went to, how to describe it? It weren't a conference, it was a teaching on prophecy from a lady called Sharon Stone. And I don't mean the actress. The lady's quite well known for having a prophetic gift. And we were sort of thrown in the deep end. We were originally going for the Saturday evening where it was a prophetic night where people were going to get prophetic words. And we were curious, but we were also curious about the teaching. So we turned up Saturday morning to this church in Manchester. And everybody there was there for teaching about being able to prophesy into people's lives. And we were thrown straight in the deep end. Sharon Stone's teaching was get off your backsides and go do it in a set and certain way. And we ended up right at the beginning, we were asked, is everybody here happy to be part of the prophetic team tonight for tonight's meeting? I was like, yeah, okay. So basically we went through different scenarios on how to prophesy. And she broke it down into simple terms, which enabled us to get partnered up for the evening. Everybody was partnered. So the evening, at the end of the meeting, people were given a number. And there were 20-odd teams, Carol? 20-odd prophetic teams. So we only ended up prophesying over a couple of people. But through the teaching for the day, we were able to pray with people and speak into their lives. And some reactions were brilliant. Some reactions were like, have I said the right thing? Do I know? But we have to trust in God. And how it was broken down, and I know Johnny is wanting to do some prophetic schooling, it was broken down into your senses. Did you hear anything? When you're praying, did you hear anything? Did you see anything? Doesn't often come with a sense of smell or a sense of taste, but she did give testimony of when those were used. But it's, you get a picture or you get a word, ask God, what does it mean? Then when you've asked God what it meant, how do you give that in a way that will encourage, strengthen, and comfort? Going back to a few years ago at Huddersfield, I did what they call the regional church training program. And there was a pastor called Phil Niblett, and he spoke on the spirit gifts, but he also spoke on wisdom and knowledge. And quite often they all run together. He's got a lady in his church, and I may get this bit slightly wrong, but it was at least her second husband's funeral. And if I remember rightly, her previous husband had died as well. So she's at the funeral, burying her husband. And God says to Phil Niblett, that woman's going to get married again, and it's going to be soon. And he's like, I'm at a funeral, a husband's funeral. How am I going to say that to this lady? So he actually, all he said to it was, God's going to bless you. And he left it at that. So he used wisdom to give the word to just say that you're going to be blessed. 6 months later, this lady's knocking on his office door. I've met a man, I want to get married. Then he was able to share what God had told him at the funeral. And it's being able to use those gifts to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort. He was able to comfort that lady at the funeral to say, God's going to bless you. Then when she comes up and says, I'm going to get married, he is still comforting her, but he's also encouraging her that it's right because God had told her that she was going to get married soon. So tonight's message is basically desire gifts of the Spirit, but eagerly desire prophecy. And I believe desiring that gift and using that gift, we will reach this town of Sobey Bridge. And I know for me, God's already laid it on my heart to talk to the homeless in the town. And I want to be able to speak into their lives and encourage them. Give them the strength to step out. Because a lot of them are in a comfort zone. It's not a good way of living, but they're used to it. And they're afraid to step out of that way of living. And I think that's the same for anybody that doesn't know Christ. That's where we need to be, and we need to encourage anybody and everybody that we come across.